Hello, everyone. Today, I'm going to be reading Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. That's page 999 on the Pew Bible. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good evening, church. It's good to be done with all those pesky guest speakers. Everybody's just so irritated. We've got all those great guest speakers all summer. And then we get to September and first Sunday night in September. And finally, y'all get to hear me bring the word again. I know it is just a great sense of relief you're feeling tonight. And it's like just all the puzzle pieces that fit together, none of them are missing, and I just couldn't agree more. So I remember this would have been fall or maybe early winter of 1996. It's the year as a 21-year-old I was led back to the Lord, having been unfaithful for a number of years. And I would read the Bible, my Bible, in my bed at night before I would go to sleep. I had a old gray, silvery, gray-colored New American Standard Bible. And I remember getting to the book of Romans and reading through the book of Romans as a grown man, having been raised in the church, been in the church all my life, read through the book of Romans by myself as a grown Christian man. And I remember I was jotting just a little note here or there in the margin in pencil. I got to the end of the book of Romans, and I just wrote, "Read this again." All right? 21 years growing up in the church, heard countless sermons, who knows how many, whole classes on the book of Romans. There is power in the Word of God. There's power when it is preached publicly by a faithful brother in Christ. There's power in that. There's value in that. And you certainly, I wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't value in the public proclamation of the Word. We know there's value in that. But if you are dependent on your preacher to get all your Bible over the course of your life, you're going to miss most of it. So, my hope is that this adventure that we begin tonight by the book, we kick that up again. This time the book is Romans. Sunday nights until we will be preaching through the book of Romans section by section by section. And my hope is that this is going to be an adventure that increases all of our appetites to be in the Word of God on our own Sunday through Saturday, not just Sunday and Wednesday. There's an old saying, if you get Romans, God gets you. Now, over the years, I've looked up to try to find out who the original crafter of that beautiful statement was, and I've seen conflicting accounts. It doesn't really matter who said it first. It's the weight of that statement that I want to just spend a moment on. That's a huge thing to say. If you get Romans, God gets you. That's a really huge thing to say. And what is being said by that is just the magnificence of the book of Romans. Just what it is, what it encompasses, what it reveals to us. There is no more complete volume explaining the gospel and why it works and how it works in any other form than the book of Romans. Yeah, there are bits and pieces all over in every book of the Bible, but nothing is more complete in itself than the book of Romans. If you study Romans from beginning to end, there is no aspect of the gospel you will not be able to understand better than you did before, at the very least. So there's a method of teaching called the Romans Road. Any of you heard of the Romans Road? Now, the Romans Road is a particular method of leading people to salvation in Christ, focusing specifically on the book of Romans. And there is a way that you can do this, by the way. There are some folks that I think mislead people a little bit with the Romans Road. One of the things that we do need to understand about the book of Romans, A, who wrote the book of Romans? That would be the Apostle Paul. When? If memory serves, A.D. 55, 56, winter, Paul writes that. And so during his last decade, the beginning of his last decade of life, because at the end of that decade, Nero would execute the Apostle Paul in Rome after his second trial before Caesar. All right, so the Apostle Paul wrote it. It's apostolic, meaning it is authoritative. We'll talk more about that in a moment of time. He wrote it to the Church of Christ, which was in the city of Rome. Now, in the mid to late 50s A.D., we need to understand a little bit about what was going on there socially, politically. First of all, there were more slaves in the city of Rome than there were free people. There were more slaves in the city of Rome than there were free people. This is one of the reasons why the government system of Roman Empire was so brutal, because there was always this tension, this fear, that if the power balance got upset, you know, there were more slaves than there were free people, and that creates a dangerous situation for those that are not enslaved. So there was always trouble and problems going on about that in the city of Rome. But there had been problems with the Jews. In about 50 A.D., the Emperor Claudius had actually expelled the Jews from the city of Rome. They were gone. Jews were expelled because of social conflicts the Jews were involved in, probably disputes that were taking place because of the spread of the gospel and conflicts taking place in the community. But the Jews were expelled from Rome. This is what occasioned Paul first to meet Priscilla and Aquila. But what this created was, for the very first time, a large, notable, influential church in the first century was able to develop Gentile leadership. Because in the absence of the Jews were always the elders and leaders of the churches wherever they were throughout the dispersion, up until this event took place in Rome. And so while the Jews are gone from Rome, Gentiles come into positions of leadership in the Roman church. The law changes. Jews are coming back to the city of Rome, and they're now finding the status quo in Christendom all over the world is not the same in Rome as they have come to expect it to be. And now there are problems in tradition. How do we practice this Christian life? How do we deal with feast days? How do we deal with ritual washings and various sacrifices and offerings of the law? How do we understand the promises that God made to Israel? What is the relationship of the Gentile Christians with the Jewish Christians? All of those are questions now that the life of the church in Rome demanded answers to. It's not that the Holy Spirit said, "Paul, sit down, I'm going to make you write an entirely unneeded, unwanted, unnecessary letter to a bunch of people that have no idea that they need to know what you're going to write." The Holy Spirit led Paul to write directly into the circumstances of the church at Rome exactly what they needed to hear. And in God's providence, that created a treatise that answers the same questions that we have today. And that's one of the beautiful things about the brilliance of God and how He could lead apostles and prophets to write messages that were relevant to a particular period of time and write them in such a way that they have relevance in all times. So the Romans Road is about leading people to salvation through Christ just using the book of Romans. But be careful, because it was written by a Christian to Christians. The book of Romans was not written to teach people how to become Christians. It can be used for that, as long as you don't exclude Romans 6 from the road. Right? Because unfortunately that's what folks sometimes do. All right, so let's make sure that we take the whole of the text of Romans as the Romans Road and teach that. Remember, it was written to teach Christians what it meant that they were Christians and how to understand the Christian faith, how to understand what God had done in their lives and what He was doing in their lives. And as long as we understand that as primary, then we'll be able to understand it truthfully also and make practical application into our lives. What we're going to look at tonight is the text of Romans 1, 1 through 7. As always with the By the Book series, I will be putting the text on the screen, and we're going to do this in the old Puritan fashion of running commentary. In other words, we're going to go through the text together and just read it, think it through, share it. I'll preach through it as we read together. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Some of you that were at Connect Conference or that maybe heard my lecture at the Connect Conference online know that I started my lecture with the first three words in the book of Romans in Greek, which is I've always found to be a very interesting, profound thing. Ever since the first time I learned, Paulos, doulos, Christou. The first three words in the original Greek of Romans. Paul, a slave of Christ. Those are his first three words that he writes to the church in the most powerful city in the world, the church that has members that are among the most powerful people in the world, a church that is led by free Romans, some even of the household of Caesar, and a church that is made up more of slaves than it is of free people. Paul is not being punitive when he says this. He's not trying to smack the faces of the free people and the nobles and the elites there. He's not just trying to identify with the underdog, although I do think that's part of what he's doing. Christ identifies with the slave, but he's modeling for the leadership of the church, the mentality that every Christian is called to have. Jesus is a master, and he will be the master, or he will not have you. And we've got to understand that that relationship is going to be fundamental and settled. He's Lord, your servant. And he is whether you accept it or not. But if you want him to accept you, you must accept him as Lord. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. He did not take this honor upon himself. He was called by the Lord Jesus Christ into his apostleship, which means that the fruits of his apostleship are in fact the will and work of Jesus Christ. Called to be an apostle, set apart, that's the concept that is underneath holiness. Holiness is something being set apart from that which is common, that which is ordinary, that which is profane, that which is unclean. Just because something is not unclean doesn't mean it's holy. But holiness is separation from that which is unclean as well as that which is perfectly clean but common. Holy is special, set apart for specific use, right? And so the Apostle Paul is set apart. He's made holy. God has given him this specific purpose of ministering for the gospel of God. Gospel meaning simply good news, the good news of God, which, notice the language Paul uses, he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, meaning at this point the 39 books of the Old Testament, of which there are more than 300 specific messianic prophecies in the Old Testament Scriptures, more than 300 specific references to the Christ, where he would be born, the kind of life that he would live, the kind of death that he would die. More than 300 specific ones. And those are only the specific ones. We're not even getting into the general. He promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. Everything about the gospel centers around Jesus, who was descended from David according to the flesh. You know Matthew 1. You know Luke 2. You're aware of those genealogies. Hopefully many of us are students of the Old Testament and can even trace the genealogy of Jesus, his lineage from ancient times until his birth. But he fulfilled that requirement that he be the son of David according to the flesh. And he was declared to be the Son of God in power. In other words, this is not mere proclamation. Everything that we're looking at in these opening verses of the letter to the Romans is so far about proclamation. It's about truth claim. It's about truth statements being sent into your life. But at this point in time, we are seeing that it is not merely proclamation, but that it is also a message with power. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that has been demonstrated in his resurrection from the dead. Pardon me. So Jesus was declared to be the Son of God, proved to be the Son of God because of the power God used to raise him from the dead. By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace, unmerited favor. We have received the favor of God. And the Apostle Paul is talking about himself and his companions at this point in time. We have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. In this, Paul is tapping back into the Great Commission, where Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, portions of Luke 24, Acts 1, John 20, you've got different versions of the Great Commission communicated in various ways in the gospel. The church is called to go out into all the nations, make disciples of all the nations. Now, the Apostle Paul here says we've received grace, that is favor from God. To be given a mission from a king is grace, it's favor, it's a privilege, it's an honor. It's not merely a duty that we would fulfill grudgingly. You would be honored to be chosen by the king to a particular work. Paul is getting that idea across in this particular case. But apostleship. The word apostle, the Greek word apostolos, means one commissioned or one sent forth. And it is important that we understand the role of the apostle. And I'm not going to get into that in great depth or length tonight, but it's important we understand the role of the apostles in the communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The apostles are those who are officially sent out by Jesus to communicate his message as heralds of his truth. And the Apostle Paul says that the purpose of their mission is to bring about the obedience of faith. In other words, real faith that has come to life in the works of those who've received the gospel. Including you, he says, those in Rome who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, that is, holy ones. Every Christian is called to be a saint. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's draw a couple of lessons summarizing what we've looked at in these first seven verses of the book of Romans. This letter of ours, it is from Paul. He is a servant, a slave to be specific, writing on behalf of his master. That's what he's communicating. Don't miss that. He's writing on behalf of Jesus. Romans 1 is Jesus' message to you. Romans 2 is Jesus' message to you, and so on. Pardon me. The message is the good news from God that he's kept his ancient promises by confirming the scriptures. In other words, what he foretold through the mouths of the prophets, he has now done, earning our trust, proving that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ. In this letter of ours, he's done this through his son, Jesus the Christ, whom he proved to be his unique son by raising him from the dead. And this is the one thing worth arguing about in all the earth. Now listen, I'm not saying that there aren't other things that are worth arguing about. There are plenty of things that are worth arguing about. But I'm telling you, the testimony of the empty tomb of Jesus Christ is the one thing worth arguing about, if anything is. It is the entire basis of every human being's hope in all the world. Either the tomb is empty and you have hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the tomb is not empty and you have no hope at all. Period. No matter what you believe or what you think or what you do. And so we need to make sure that we are always ready to defend the testimony of the gospel. Jesus thus has the right, listen please, Jesus thus has the right to call into service every person everywhere, Jew and Gentile. And it was to send forth this call to every person alive into service that the apostles preached and wrote letters like this one to the church at Rome. And so tonight, the lesson is summarized in this sentence. Romans, the book of Romans, is an inspired word from God calling you, me, into his service. That's what this letter to the church at Rome is doing for you. What about doctrine from the first seven verses of this text? Number one, the apostles speak on behalf of Jesus. Their words equal his. In authority, their words equal his. Secondly, Scripture equals evidence. Scripture is written to convince. The testimony is in the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures, and you will be reading the best evidence available for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you read the Scriptures with an open mind, they will make believers out of you, which is God's intention for them. Third doctrine, Jesus is Lord. Fourth doctrine, Jesus, my beloved brothers and sisters, is your Lord. And that remains true whether you receive him or not. The question is, will you receive him? We've begun then this journey through the book of Romans. I hope it will be a beneficial one. I'm excited about it. I hope it will be a blessing to this church. A lot of rich things we're going to delve into, Lord willing, over the weeks to come. But tonight, listen, are you here? Have you been thinking of giving your life to the Lord and you haven't done it yet? Do you understand you've got sins in your life? You need those sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. Will you confess your faith in Jesus Christ? Will you make the decision to turn your life over to him? Obey the commandment to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. The water's ready. We're happy to help you tonight. This evening, if you're a baptized believer that needs our prayers, we'll gladly offer those to heaven on your behalf. Come as we stand and sing.